You have your Bibles, go on and turn with you to Joshua, chapter 14, the book of Joshua, easy to remember. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua, chapter 14. While you're turning there, let me share this with you about John Glenn. I'm going to trust that most of you in this room know who I'm talking about. John Glenn, on October 29, 1998, while still a sitting senator, became the oldest person to fly in space and the only one to fly in both the Mercury and Space Shuttle programs. When at age at 77, he flew as a payload specialist on Discovery Mission STS-95. What I didn't know about this, I do remember him flying on the space shuttle program. What I didn't know was that he had persistently pursued NASA to do this. They evidently turned him down, probably concerned about his age. But he kept on and on. He never gave up on his dream, and it happened on October 29, 1998. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for this church. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. Do you believe that? Come on, you can do better than that. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We're not supposed to solicit amens, but we're going to do it today. Okay? God has a plan for all of us. But I want you to know and listen to this very carefully. His plan is not just to get you safely to heaven. That's not it. That's not all there is to the Christian life. It's just to get you safely to heaven. We're talking about salvation. Nathan shared about if you're here and you don't know Christ, that he would love to share with you the plan of salvation so that you can come to know Christ. And not only know that you have heaven as your home, but that you experience eternal life. Okay? His plan is not only salvation, but sanctification. That's talking about spiritual growth. And about service, about serving the Lord. But here's the thing that happens when we advance in years, and I'm not necessarily talking about elderly people. Okay, I'm 70. Okay, I don't really consider myself to be old. I'm feeling it, but I don't consider it that. When we talk about advancing in years, and we're talking about the years that you've known Christ. I've known the Lord since 1974. So we're talking about what can happen in your life and in my life and our spiritual lives. Is that we can lose our spiritual vitality. Vitality is liveliness, vigor, persistent energy. God has a plan for spiritual vitality for your life and my life. And this can be seen in the life of Caleb. Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Look at this. In Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6, now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according... Now, what do you have in your translation? According to what? My heart or my convictions. You really need to see that. According to my convictions, according to my heart. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. And I have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now again, I hope you have something close to that. That's important, that word wholeheartedly. Literally means in full sail. It means in full sail. It's talking about a sailing boat. And when the wind is in right relationship with the sail, it's a full sail, and the ship can move along greatly. When we're talking about it, we're talking about Caleb had a whole heart for the Lord, and he followed the Lord in that way. Caleb's spiritual vitality can be seen in this. Look at this. Look at verse 30. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I have an exclamation mark after that. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this mountain or this hill country that the Lord has done what? Promise me this day. You yourself have heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Caleb's spiritual vitality can be seen here in this passage from verse 10 to verse 12. The first thing that we see here is his focus. Look again at verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. In the past, the Lord has kept me. That's a key word there. It's the same word that is used in Psalm 23, talking about the Lord, where David said the Lord was his shepherd, and that the Lord would keep him like a shepherd. And this is what he's talking about. His focus. Why so long? Why was it that from 40 years, remember now the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, and it's a picture of our salvation. But then they went and they made their way through the desert of sin to Mount Sinai. And then from there, they were going to go up and go right into the promised land. Again, the promised land is a picture of the promised life that Jesus promised us. In John 10:10, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. That promised life. So the promised land is a picture of that. And they would have gone right on up into the promised land, but at Kadesh Barnea, what happened? They stopped. They wanted to have spies, so spies were sent out. And there was 12 spies according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And they went into the land, and they saw the land, and they came back. And by the way, this is in Numbers 13, don't turn there. But you can read about that later in Numbers 13. So they came back, and they gave a report. 2 gave a good report and 10 gave a bad report. 2 said, we're able to go up and take the land, let's do it. But there was the 10 who said what? Look, it's just like God said. This is what an indictment. It's an indictment on the church today that we, as believers, that we would say that we live by according to the word of God, by what God says. And they said there, they said, that it's just as God said. Just as God said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had brought the grapes of Eshcol. I don't know if you know about the grapes of Eshcol. They were so large that they had to take a stave, and 2 men had put that stave through the grapes of Eshcol, and that they had to carry them in that way. They were so large and so heavy. And they said, it's just like God said. But we can't take it because there's giants in it. The cities are walled and there's giants in the land. And so they, because of their unbelief, they stayed there and they were, by God, they were judged by God. And they were sent to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And here, that's now, Caleb is saying it's been 45 years because he has been helping the others find their claim, their inheritance, the land that God had promised them. But now he's ready to claim his. And he said, for 45 years, look again what he says here. He says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Why so long? Because God was doing a work in Caleb's life. I want you to understand this. What God was making him, it's not what Caleb could do, but what God was making him into. It was what God was making him into, not what he could do for the Lord. So many times we have an emphasis in the Christian life where doing is more important than being, that we do the Christian life. And what happened here is this, during this 45-year period, God was building character into Caleb. He was building patience and endurance within him. He was preparing him for what is ahead. Remember now, God is not so much concerned about how much you can do for him, but for you to be who he's called you to be in his son. And then out of that being will come your doing, will come your serving, giving your life to the Lord. Hallelujah. His focus. That was his focus. That was Caleb's focus. We're to focus on the person of God, not our problems. Now, I know this for a fact because it's happened in my life that we can do the opposite. We can focus on our problems. We can focus on the problems that are going on in church. We can focus on the problems that are going on in our life and our family. We can focus on programs and the plans that we have. But what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be focusing on the person of God. Jehoshaphat, as he ended his prayer, and the armies were coming to take them, to conquer them, he ended his prayer by saying, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. He's telling God, our eyes are on you. Yes, this is what's going to happen. They're coming. The enemy is coming. But our eyes are on you. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed to us. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is not seen. For what is seen is temporal. What is not seen is eternal. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? For this light and momentary affliction. Now he's referring to all of the hardships, all of the afflictions, all of the trials and testings that you've gone through in your life and this church has gone through. He's referring to them as what? Light and momentary. Because they're far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed to us. Listen. Life is not just this life. Yes, heaven can be our home, and that's where we're headed. Hallelujah. But what Caleb did was this, for those 45 years, and you know that he was tested and tried over that. Caleb did what? He kept his focus on the Lord. He followed the Lord with a whole heart. He kept a focus on him. Just recently, probably a year ago, I had my annual eye exam by my ophthalmologist, Dr. Spellman. And as we were ending the session, he wanted to write a prescription for me. I have 20/40. I don't have 20/20 vision, but I have 20/40. And he wanted to write a prescription for me, and he said, I want to do this, and so you can get glasses, and you start wearing glasses. And I said, oh, Dr. Spellman, I'm okay. I can see really good far. I just can't, I can't see what's in front of me. I can read a book on the floor better than I can in my hands. Do you feel my pain? There's a few of us. You do this for yes and this for no. And I even pulled out my, I said, I have reader glasses. you know, these are my cheaters. So I use these to, and he said, no, what has happened is you've adjusted to poor eyesight. Did you hear that? I want you to know he nailed me. But let me tell you something, God spoke through that. Because you know and I know that there's so many of us in the body of Christ, we've adjusted to poor eyesight. Our focus is not on the Lord. Our focus is on what's going on. Hallelujah. Well, we can see Caleb's spiritual vitality not only in his focus, but we can see it in his faith. Look with me again at verse 11. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out, and I'm just as vigorous to go to battle, out to battle now, as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I want that mountain. That's what God had promised it to him, and he was claiming it. His confidence was in the Lord, not in himself. Not only was his focus on the Lord, but his confidence was in the Lord. He wanted nothing more than what God had promised him, and he would settle for nothing less. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more than what God promised him would settle for nothing less. Hebron is where what was the area that Caleb was claiming. It was a great land. It was the hill country. It was that place of fellowship and love and of communion. It was a 3,000-foot elevation with fertile ground and abundant water. He had experienced the promised land, and he wanted others to do the same. He was promised at 40, and he claimed it at 85. Would you endure? Would you endure for that? Promised at 40, claimed at 85. Claiming his inheritance. And listen to this, still growing younger day by day. Did you notice I didn't say growing older, but growing younger day by day? Why? Because he was walking by faith and not by sight. How many of us, myself included, take that and switch it, and we walk by sight and not by faith? We have an ever-deepening faith to claim the promises of God. By the way, how does God deepen your faith? How does he deepen my faith? Through trials and testings. James calls it the trying of your faith. Not the trying of your will, but the trying of your faith. Then God will put you through that. Listen to this. Listen to this promise. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by what? Faith. That's Romans 1:17. Listen to this. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he's what? That he is, that he exists. And he's a reward of them who diligently seek him. I believe it was A.W. Tozer said, it's a spurious logic to believe that once that you have found Jesus, you no longer have to seek him. But that happens in your life and in my life. That's where we lose the spiritual vitality. We lose the spiritual vitality. We no longer grow in the Lord. We grow old in the Lord, but we no longer grow in the Lord. I was reading about a contemporary Christian singer named Matthew West. I don't know how many of you know who I'm talking about. Even if you don't, shake your head up and down, it makes it go faster here. Matthew West. Matthew West wrote the song Motions. I don't know if you ever heard this Motions. It's a special song. Listen to this. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to spend one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I'd given everything instead of going through the motions? That is powerful. It's powerful. Well, that was put to the test in Matthew's life. On May 17, 2007, he went through a career-threatening vocal surgery. A vocal surgery. no guarantees that it was going to be successful. In that time, he faced a season of silence and uncertainty. Listen to this. We all face trials. Matthew's story is a proof that God is at work even in our weakest moments. And this is where the change begins. Listen to this. He had to go through 2 months of complete silence. Could you not talk for 2 months? How about 2 weeks? How about 2 days? How about 20 minutes? But he was willing to give it all up for the Lord. We're told what? I urge you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How can you be a living sacrifice? How can you be alive and be dead at the same time? Is that you die to self and come alive to Him, that you give Him complete control of your life. There's so many Christians today who are living their lives and they're in control. They want to be in control. We all want to be in control. And what we're talking about in this, we're talking about giving up control and let Jesus have control of your life. And that's what Matthew West did. Yes, he recovered, and God still uses him in writing songs and performing them for the glory of God. Here's what I believe that happens in our lives is this. We read in the scripture where Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what I'm talking about? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is how we read it. I will never let anything bad happen to you. I will never let anything bad happen to you. That's what Matthew was going through. He trusts. Here's the thing. The Lord never said he would keep us from these moments in our life, but he always said he would go with us through them. Amen. As we trust him to do that. We can not only can see Caleb's spiritual vitality in his focus and in his faith, but we can see it in his fight. Look with me, would you, at verse 12. Go back to verse 11. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous for battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. You also heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. If in his focus, Caleb, in the past, the Lord was going to what? The Lord was going to help him. In the future, he's going to help him. In the future, the Lord will help me. That's basically what he is saying here. He's talking about expelling the enemy. The three sons of Anak, they were three giants. Listen to what he says. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Yeah, I'm just as strong as I was then, but I'm just as vigorous for battle. He was not afraid of the giants. We will overcome our enemies by the power of God. Who are the three sons of Anak in our lives today? This would be anything that would keep us from possessing. I'm talking about the giants now. Anything that would keep us from possessing our inheritance. Like real giants, they appear overwhelming to us and cause us to shrink back and not advance. Caleb not only took possession of his inheritance, but he also removed the giants that were occupying the land. See, again, it's one thing to say, to claim the life that you have in the Lord Jesus, but it's another to actually begin to walk it out. It was one thing for Caleb to say, I am claiming Hebron, but it's another thing for him to go up that mountain with his family and take on the three sons of Anak and displace them and get rid of them and take that land. But that's what he did. I believe that there's three giants that we can be faced with. Sharon and I have been we've been faced with the three sons of Anak, the giants in our lives. And those enemies are age, disappointment, and fear. Age, disappointment, and fear. Now, that doesn't mean that this applies to you. But you have your three sons of Anak, the giants that impose themselves upon you. Who are they in your life? Age, for Sharon and I, was age, disappointment, and fear. Age, we can lose the spiritual vitality. Disappointment, we can become embittered because of what is in fear. And by the way, folks, again, this is not age specific. Fear can have such a hold on your life. Fear can have such a hold on your life. Now, you're gonna say, well, you know, I'm not afraid of nothing. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to be. You're going to be. I used to watch my father when he was in his 80s, and I used to watch him shuffle and walk like this. You know why he walked like that? He was afraid of what? Of falling. Is there fear in our spiritual lives, in our walk with the Lord? Yes. The enemy, Satan, wants to use fear in your life in the same way God wants to use faith in your life. Let me say that again. Satan wants to use fear in your life in the same way that God wants to use faith in your life. Listen to this. In Hebrews 3, don't turn there, 7 through 9, it said, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in the wilderness when they saw my works for 40 years, but they did not understand my ways. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the wilderness. A hard heart is a heart that doesn't respond to the voice of God. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to this church. He will listen, listen. I know the desire to want to see the works of God. Everybody wants to see the works of God. And that's what the children of Israel did in those 40 years. Even when they were wandering in the wilderness, God was still working in their lives. But he wanted them to understand his ways, and his way is the way of faith. That by faith, you claim him. You claim the life that you can have through him. Are you wholeheartedly following the Lord? Is your focus on the person of God? Is your faith in the promises of God? Is your fight for the power, with the power of God? I came across this quote from Warren Wiersbe that I believe is a perfect way to end this. It's from his book, With the Word. Listen to this. What an example for us to follow. Age, talking about Caleb, what an example for us to follow. Age did not hinder him. The disappointment of the past did not embitter him, and giants did not frighten him. At a time in life when others were looking for security and ease, Caleb was saying, "Give me this mountain." His secret, he wholeheartedly followed the Lord God of Israel. Are you wholeheartedly following the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.